So which is worse, to be lost and to know it, or to be lost and not know it? Let me explain. So a couple years ago when I moved here, right, I had no idea where I was going, right? I didn't know the streets. I didn't know what north and south, which went east and west, right? So no matter where I went, I got turned around. It was easy for me to get lost. It's at that point that it was confirmed to me that truly man's best friend is GPS, right? It's man's best friend because that means we don't have to stop and ask for directions, right? So he just punched it. So I punched everything into my phone, right? Take me to where I wanted to be. Then after I was here for a little while, you know, getting a little bit more confident, I know my way around. I know the streets. I know what goes north and south, east and west, right? And so there was one day I had to head out, go to a destination. I had been there before. I thought to myself, no problem, no sweat. I looked down, I was like, yeah, I got to take the 202 to get there. I know the 202, no big deal. So I jumped in the car all confident. I looked at my phone and said, I don't need no stinking GPS. I got a good sense of direction. Off I go, right? Playing the radio, beep-bopping along. All of a sudden I thought to myself, it's taking an awfully long time to get there. And then I started looking around and I was like, I don't recognize any of these landmarks that I'm going past. It was on that day that I discovered that the 202 is a loop. You can go east or west on either the northern loop or the southern loop. You see, I was lost, and I didn't know it. I was going in the wrong direction, but since I didn't know it, I just confidently kept going in the wrong direction. This is what Jesus is trying to show us in the second half of the parable. It's easy to spot that the younger son is lost. Just look at his living. But not so easy when you look at the older son. Both sons were alienated from their father. The difference is the older son didn't know it. He was lost, but he didn't know it. See, the fact is, this is a tale of two sons. And we can so easily miss that. For years, all the time I was growing up, it was always the parable of the prodigal son. Right? It was always about the younger son. But there are two sons that are involved. But the traditional view always focuses on the younger son, which makes us believe then that he's the central character, that the whole story and the whole focus is on the younger son. And if that's true, the first half of the parable makes perfect sense. We've got this kid who goes off and squanders the fortune on prostitutes and wild living. And then in a great turn of events, he comes back home. There's this great reconciliation between him as his father. And you can almost imagine the whole audience is listening to Jesus go, oh, isn't that nice? And they had a warm feeling inside that no matter what we do, the Father will welcome us back home. And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But if he's the central focus of the story, well, first of all, I'm not sure that I get the second half of the story. And as I read the second half of the story, I'm in with the older bro. I'm with him on this, right? He comes home. He's put in another long day, hard day out in the fields, right? He's tired. He's sweaty. He just wants a shower and something cold to drink. And he comes up. There's all this hooping and hollering going on, right? He calls one of the guys. What's the deal? He says, oh, your younger brother is home and your dad's throwing a party. He even killed the fattened calf, right? And he goes, what? Are you kidding me? That lowlife gets a party? You must be joking. This guy goes off. A third of the estate is gone in a matter of months. I'm sweating here, working hard, and this kid gets a party. I'm with him. I'm like, you're nuts, Dad. Why would you do such a thing? Right? In agreement. But how does it fit in with the story? I don't understand. If the younger son is the central focus, right, where does the older brother come in? And so he doesn't go into the party, and it ends with him sort of sulking outside, and that's it. It's confusing to me. There's no connection. If the younger son is the central character, but what if the focus is on the father? Remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said there was a man who had two sons. He didn't say there was a man who had this low-grade, no-good, early young son and a nice, good, older son. No, he said there was a man who had two sons, right? Now, if the focus and the central character of the story is the father, then that changes everything, because now it's the story of how a father deals with his two sons. His two sons that, if we look closely enough, are both alienated from him, but alienated for very, very different reasons. He has one son who is a very, very good son, and he has one son who's a very, very bad son. But both are alienated from the father. So it's the tale of a father with two sons. And both sons, by the way, are disrespectful to the father. They humiliate the father. We recognized it with the younger son. He basically said, "God, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. I wish you were dead, because I want my inheritance now." And he takes it, and he goes off and blows it on while living, right? Disrespects his father, unheard of. But in the second half of the story, the older son comes home. There's a party going on. They've killed the fattened calf, and he refuses to go in to the party. Now, a little bit of context here. This is the ancient Middle East, right? Beef, it's not what's for dinner, okay? Meat was a delicacy. You didn't have that every night, right? It was a special occasion. And then on top of that, you've got the fattened calf, which is reserved for only the biggest, the best celebration that you're ever going to have. The father has killed the fattened calf, which means the entire community has been invited, expected to show up and join in the celebration. In short, this is the single most important day in the father's life. Single most important day for the father. And what does the older son do? He insults his father and he humiliates his father by not going in to the party. The whole community is there, and everyone knows that his eldest son refuses to join in the celebration. If he truly loved the father, he wouldn't care how he felt about his younger brother. He would have went into the party, joined in the celebration for his father's sake. It's the most important day of his life. Instead, he insults him, humiliates him, disrespects him. It's the tale of two lost sons. The problem is, one of them doesn't know he's lost. The younger son knows that he's lost. It's obvious, it's evident, the things that he did, as far as the disrespecting of his father, the unheard of things he did with one-third of the estate, he knows what he did was wrong. That's obvious that he was alienated from his father. But the older son, he did everything right. Right? He was obedient to his father. He stayed with his father. He worked in the estate. He was out in the fields every day. He did all the right things, and that's part of the problem. You see, now we're getting into the radical teaching of Jesus, the one that would have stunned the entire crowd that was gathered around him, especially the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They understand that the father in the parable is our Father in heaven. That's God. They understand that the feast that they're talking about is salvation. It's the feast of salvation where people are joining in. The part that throws them for a loop, that makes their jaws drop, is that the younger son, the immoral son, he's in the feast. He's in the party. The good son, the obedient son, he's outside of the party. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, would be shaking their heads and no. The young kid can't be in there. He's the sinner. He doesn't deserve to be in there. The older son, the obedient son, he belongs in there. He's the one that should be there. They fail to understand that no one deserves to be in the party. It is only by sheer grace that you can be in party. But they don't get it. They don't see. The older son is lost. He's alienated from his father. Look at the dialogue between the two of them. Luke 15:29. So the father comes out and pleads with him. First of all, patriarchal society. Fathers don't plead with sons. Sons plead with fathers. This father goes out and pleads with his son. How does his son react? He says, look. Doesn't even call him father or dad. Talk about disrespect. Look, you. All these years I've been slaving for you, and I've never disobeyed your orders. I've done everything that you wanted me to do, Dad, and you haven't done anything for me. You never even gave me so much as a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. Here's the thing. He is lost, not in spite of his behavior, but because of his behavior. Let that sink in for a moment. The older son is lost, not in spite of his good behavior, but because of his behavior. In other words, I've been working for you, Dad. I've been slaving for you. I've been doing all the right things with the anticipation, with the expectation that something good's going to come my way. I'm going to do all these things for you. I'm going to go out to the field every day. I'm going to do the chores that you ask me to do. I'm never going to disrespect you. And one day, there's going to be a payoff on that. One day, then it's all going to come my way. And when it doesn't, that's when he gets angry, and that's when he accuses his father and says, you've done nothing for me. This no good son squanders away the wealth, and you give him everything. I've done all these things for you. I deserve something from you, and I get nothing. He doesn't understand. No one deserves to be in the party. What the story reveals for us is just like the younger son, the older son loves what the father has more than the father. If he truly loved the father above everything else, he would have joined in the celebration. He would have had joy for this, the greatest day in the father's life. But instead, he feels cheated. He didn't get what he deserved. Someone broke the deal. He did all these things, and now something should come back to him. At this moment, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are greatly offended, and they should be, because they recognize that Jesus is talking to them. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, they're the older son. They're the ones who prided themselves on keeping God's law. They're the ones that went beyond God's law with more rules and regulations to make sure that they were perfectly obedient to the Father, right? They were righteous in every way, and they were very, very religious individuals, always in the synagogue, always praying, always doing all of the right things. So in their mind, they can look down and say, we're not like those tax collectors. We're not like those sinners over there. In essence, we're better than them. It's not that they're perfect, but when they sin, they know how to repent. When they sin, they know exactly what to pray. They know exactly how to get forgiveness. They do all of the right things. But there's an expectation that God would bless them, that certainly God would hear their prayers above someone else. The fact is, Jesus is reaching out to them because they're lost. They just don't know it. They don't know they're lost. Now, here's the most penetrating question of the entire series. Are you lost and don't know it? Are you lost and you just don't know it? Follow-up question, are you offended that I even suggested that? And right now in your mind, are you coming up with all the reasons why that's a ridiculous question? Well, hold on, what do you mean am I lost? I'm here. I'm in church. In fact, I'm in church every week. What do you mean am I lost? I pray every day. I get up in the morning and I pray. When I go to bed and I pray. I help out here at church and I help out in the community. I try and watch my language. I try and be honest in all of my business dealings. I try and be nice to all of my... Are you listing all the things that you do? Are you perhaps spotting the problem here? The deeper question is this. Why do you do what you do? I'm asking myself, why are you faithful? Are you faithful sheerly out of love for God? Or is there somewhat of an expectation? Yeah, I'm faithful to God, and then one day I get heaven. Yes, I do all of the right things, and I'm nice to people, and one day something comes my way. The fact is, we all have older son tendencies, right? We're not going to be extreme like either one of the sons that are in the parable, right? Jesus is drawing extremes to make a point. But here's the thing. It's easy to recognize when we're acting like the younger son, right? It's easy to recognize that. We've gone rogue. We've done things that we regret. We sit up at night and we fret about it and our conscience bothers about it. It's not so easy to recognize when all of a sudden we have some tendencies like the older brother. See, I'm not suggesting that any of you would stand up and say, you know what? I'm a good person. I do everything right. And because of that, I know that God's going to let me into heaven. I seriously doubt any of you would say that, right? You all understand we're saved by grace, right? We got Romans 3:23. And if you look at that, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We'd say, amen. Yep. There's not one of us. We all sinned. We all messed up. I got that. Then it goes on, and all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Absolutely. That is it. We are saved by grace through faith. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We understand that in our heads. Does it come out in our actions? Is that how we feel in our hearts? Or do we think because we do the right things that that puts us in a little bit different category than the sinners over there? I think there's a danger. There's a danger for us to start acting like the older son. And the real danger is we won't recognize it. There are three attitudes that he displays that we really, really need to pay attention to. Three very dangerous attitudes. The first one is anger. That's his first reaction. He comes home, this son, this no good, right, gets a party, and he has nothing. And he is angry about it, right? He says, this son of yours. Doesn't even call him his brother, right? This son of yours. He squanders away, and this is what I get. He's mad about the fact that that kid doesn't deserve anything, right? And he does, so why doesn't he have something? Have you ever been angry when somebody makes a deathbed confession of faith? I mean, they were a jerk their entire life. They were abusive. They were obscene. Can't believe some of the things that they did. And then 1 hour before they die, they profess Jesus. And oh, now they're in heaven. Does that tick you off? Because they shouldn't be there. Look at their life and all that they did. Mindful of anger. How about when things go wrong in your life? Right? All of a sudden the rug gets pulled out. How many times have you said, why did that happen to me? Isn't the insinuation, I'm faithful to God, that shouldn't happen to me? Careful. Careful of the older brother tendencies. Watch out for anger. The second one is mindless obedience. There's a difference between being religious and being spiritual. Religious just means that you do a set of actions and you do them religiously, right? There's many things that I do religiously, right? I religiously brush my teeth 3 times a day, and I really don't think about it. I just do it. We got to be careful of mindless obedience. Did you notice the word choice of the older son? I've been slaving for you all these years. Isn't that a strange thing to say? Instead of, hey, Dad, we've been working together all these years, and this is what happens. Hey, Dad, we've been trying to build up the family business here. No, I've been slaving for you. I've been doing everything that you asked me to do. Didn't really think about it. Didn't want to do it, but I just did it. Be careful. Be careful, even the most pious things, that you're just going through the motions, that you're just doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Mindless obedience. The third one is a judgmental spirit. He gets angry. What does he say to his father? This son of yours who squandered away the family fortune on prostitutes and wild living. The insinuation is, I'd never do what he did. That's unheard of. It's despicable. I can't believe how he lived. I would never live like him. He stands in judgment over him. I'm better than him. How many times have you looked at other people's behavior and thought, I could never do that. I can't imagine somebody doing that. No show of hands. How many of you at some time, the very thing that you said that you would never do, you did? I'm guessing it'd be 100% of us. There's something we said, I'd never do that. And then it hurt real bad when you did, didn't it? Be careful of standing in judgment that we're better than someone else. When it comes to salvation, we're on an equal playing field. A little less sin doesn't put you a little bit higher up, and a little more sin doesn't put you a little further down. Sin keeps you out of the party. It's only by grace. It's only by God's invitation, his gift, that you come into the feast, that you taste the salvation that was won by his Son. No other way. The only way that we're restored to the Father is the Father has to come to us. He came to us through his Son, Jesus, and he restored us, and he brought us back into the family. We need to be careful. There's two very, very different ways that we can become alienated from God. The one way, like the younger son, is easy to spot. That one we understand. The more dangerous one is like the older son. That one's harder to spot. That one's more difficult to discern. Because here, you could be lost and not know it. And I think it's far worse to be lost and not know that you are. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have for all people, the love that you have for the younger sons and the love that you have for the older sons, because all people are your children and you desperately want all of them to be saved. I pray that for those times that we have been the younger sons, that through the blood of Jesus that we are forgiven, that we are reconciled, for those times that we start acting like the older son, that your Holy Spirit will remind us that it is only by your grace, only by your love, only by your free gift, that we can be a part of the feast of salvation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.